This is the new era. This is the new band, and we're unbreakable.
We can rebuild him. We have the technology. We can make him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster. Actually, better, stronger, faster.
Is that a line from Starship Troopers or something?
No, it's actually the Million Dollar Man.
$6 Million Man. I know that, and
I don't even know what that is.
We Brits don't do excitement, so this is the best you're going to get.
Chris is bringing the noise today, apparently.
Speaking of vanilla...
It's just, I don't understand why.
I don't think anyone does. I don't think Travis Green understands.
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com and CKNW.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup to never wear a C, Chris, Anna, Matt, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. This is Chris Golden at Lightforce, joined in studio by Anna Forsyth at A4C03 and Adam O'Neill Carter at Adam FOC.
A very smug looking Adam.
Yeah, well, can you blame me?
We'll probably talk about that.
I think we have to at some point.
Yeah. But missing in action is producer extraordinaire Matt Lee at Matt_Lee_61. And apparently he's got some Chinese New Year stuff lined up.
Yeah, happy Chinese New Year, Matthew.
It is, actually. Yeah. Was it this weekend? Like, I actually don't know the
date. I should be better informed, but I'm not.
I'm pretty white, so.
Yeah, also very white.
Uncultured, you know.
Yeah.
I live in Richmond. I see all the decorations and whatnot, but I'm not observant enough. Especially when it comes to dates. Like, the fact that I remember my wedding anniversary is huge, but I have a helper there because it's Pi Day.
There you go. Well, I know that actually if you're in China, it's literally lost a week. My old work, we had a factory there, and you just couldn't get hold of them for like a month.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
It's a whole big thing.
Well, it is just the three of us. Hopefully this is recording. I pressed
the magic
button. I was
going to ask, what are the chances this actually makes it through?
You know, we'll see. It could be that it's only live. Was it Trev that's in studio right now and no one else? So Trev, if there is no podcast, congratulations. It's exclusive. But speaking of exclusivity, for those of you who have chosen to support us on Patreon at the listening in tier, you got access to the most recent episode of Off the Rails, where we spoke about the Super Bowl. And I think this is a good segue to go over to Adam, who is here in the flesh, smiling. He doesn't seem to be too worse for wear. But Adam, who won the Super Bowl for those who may not have watched it, like Anna?
That would be the 6-time world champion New England Patriots.
World champion. World is an interesting... Yeah.
And my good friend Tom Brady.
Gosh, you should have seen how triggered Matt was when we were trying to record and he logs in as Tom Brady.
He was furious.
Yeah,
it's a good thing we lost that a little bit, actually, because he was, really thrown off. Yeah,
got triggered. But that's right, the Patriots won a very exciting Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was the most boring Super Bowl I've ever watched, but, I mean, my heart was pounding the entire time. But, I mean, even like the Seahawks... Broncos blowout at least had big scores to keep it interesting. Big plays. This one didn't. If you like defense, it was for you. Pretty dominant showing, I think, from the Pats at least. But I don't know. Now I'm just at peace. Like I was saying, we had a bunch of people over last night for the game, and the whole team could just cease to exist, and I would just be totally at peace. Like there's nothing more I could ask for from a team. Like 3 out of the past 5 and 6 in my lifetime. It's pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, and then compare that to your life as a Canucks fan.
I know. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I was going to say, I'd be happy with one as a Canucks
one
fan.
And done, honestly.
Yes, no, that's the thing. And, yeah, if the Canucks ever win one, same thing. Just fold the team. Let's never go through a dark period again. Go out on a high note, right? But, yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. Speaking of a high note, I did want to share some stats. And this is actually courtesy of you, our listeners, tuning in to our podcast. So you've probably heard us in the past. Give shout-outs to our listeners in Angola and Moldova, which then in turn helped us identify Matt's lack of geographic knowledge. But I did want to sort of give some insight into some statistics that I've learned. So, our iTunes chart position in the category of sports professional, so this would be like any podcast that categorizes itself as a sports podcast that essentially reports on professional teams. So, Angola, we're number 44. Moldova, we're number 46. I mean, that's huge.
That's a pretty high ranking.
Like, let's just sort of talk about sports in general. How, like, and I'm going to use football, either football or football, whichever you look at it, which I would say internationally are extremely popular sports, depending on where you are internationally.
Yep.
If every
much
one
more
of,
so than hockey.
Like, every one of those teams probably has a podcast of some sort. Has supporters around the world, and yet in Angola and in Moldova, we're top 50.
You must think, like, the Premier League must be more popular than the NHL and all of that.
Oh, no doubt. And, I mean, I use the United States as an example as well, as I would imagine there are American football fans internationally as well.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we are up there at number 44 in Angola and 46 in Moldova is huge.
Yeah.
Now, thank you to all of our Angolan and Moldovan fans. But the other number, and I think, so some background here. I don't know how Matt feels about it, because he did ask when I shared it, what am I looking at? And then he asked, is this number good or bad? Now, in Canada, we are currently number 393. Now, before all of the listeners go like, woof, as Matt would say.
Yeah.
Let's put this into perspective. Again, if we compare ourselves to every other professional sports podcast that is out there, and we're not competing against just niche hockey podcasts, we're competing against every professional sports podcast out there. And that includes all of the radio stations that now produce podcasts for every segment, where they take their Monday through Friday, you know, regular episode stuff and share that. I think that number is pretty good.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. I mean, you could say hockey's the fourth most popular of all the
Big Four. Yeah,
of the big
American
four.
Sports for sure.
It's more popular than MLS, but that's not saying much. And then take into the equation that Premier League still probably has a massive following here, too.
Mm-hmm. So, again, that's you, our listeners, that help us get to those chart levels. But how high do you think we ranked all time? So, what was our peak in the Canada iTunes store for professional sports?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, just give a number. So it's better than 393.
We make top 200?
Did we make top 200? Yes.
Well, that's pretty good. Okay.
150?
Actually, we peaked at 101.
What?
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah, this is what's unreal is we peaked at 101. So
hashtag
we know
goals.
We can get there. That is, I think, that is what we call a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal. And again, you, our listeners, are who can get us up there. Now, how can you do that? I think the easiest thing that you can do is tell your friends and family about the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast. Make sure they subscribe in iTunes. Make sure they listen. You know, if you promote it for us and help us get there, I'll be honest, we're going to have some sort of celebration.
Oh, big blowout.
Yeah, like, we'll have to involve our listeners. Like, we were talking before we click record here that we wanted to, you know, maybe have a get-together of some sort. So, quite frankly, I think that would be reason to celebrate. In fact, I'll get Matt dancing up on stage or something like that.
I would pay big bucks to see Matt dance, period, especially on stage or on a table.
Yeah. I mean, he's not here, so we can pretty much speak for him. He says yes.
Also, how much do you think he's hating this banter right now?
Well,
I can hear him screaming into his
just
headphones.
Say, talk
get
about
on topic.
Hockey.
Get on topic.
But, like, with the coming out of the bye week, there isn't much topic to get onto.
There's a big thing.
Yep.
That we could probably talk about. Chris, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but Alex Edler just stretchered off the ice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I have not seen that.
Apparently, a lot of blood.
Yeah, a lot of blood.
Wow.
His stick got caught in Voracek's skate. Tripped him up. He fell face first. Don't know what he cut, but cuts on the blood everywhere. And
was it, like, impact on the ice?
Yeah, here. I got a clip.
Literally.
I'll show it to you.
Okay, well, while I'm watching this clip and probably, you know, tossing my cookies, we're also going to talk about the fact that the Vancouver Canucks have come back from the bye. With the win against Colorado. They're playing Philadelphia right now, so we're going to talk about the result of the game. Ouch. That does not look good.
Nope.
So, yeah, we'll see how that goes, but
we also have to consider that, you know, GM JB was on the local sports radio talking a little bit about his thoughts on the Vancouver Canucks. He had mentioned Nikolai Goldobin, and Goldie comes into a game and scores. Talked about EP40 and what we talked about in the last episode, the Death Stare. So I think there's some conversation pieces there. Matt, not even here contributing an idea for us to talk about something. He wanted us to sort of, you know, have an idea of if the Canucks were to get a wild card playoff spot, who would the most and least desirable playoff opponents be and which would be the more entertaining series. He also included another topic. Does Pettersson's emergence as a better than expected defensive center render Brandon Sutter tradable? So we'll be talking about some hockey in just a moment. But as we do always, let's drop in, something. I'll do it in post-production. Listen to some music. Let's talk Canucks hockey. Now, instead of talking about the most recent thing that we just saw, because, you know, that is happening as we record right now, let's actually rewind and talk a little bit about what we saw against the Colorado Avalanche. The Vancouver Canucks came in, got themselves a solid win, and then apparently have, like, woken up the NHL as they're not a half-bad team right now.
That was the most complete game I think I've seen the Canucks play.
Yeah, definitely. And I wasn't expecting that straight out of the bye week. Especially, they scored early.
And they never really took the gas off. Even after the Avs scored, they came back pretty quickly to take that goal back. It was scoring throughout the lineup. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't a 5-point night for Pettersson or anybody, but just depth scoring. There wasn't a player up front that looked bad. It was just a good quality team game. And if the Canucks, I mean, the Avs are having their struggles now, to be sure. But if the Canucks can play like that on a continuous basis, then they've got a good chance to end up with a playoff berth.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, the word playoff kind of scares me. Not that I am averse to the Vancouver Canucks having success, but I think to your point that was, you know, the most complete game that we've seen in a long time. That was what you would see from a playoff-bound team. I think the Canucks do still sort of show their, you know, struggle to string those complete games together, you know, multiple games in a row. But it's hard to go and look at that team and say, you know what, if they can do that, that they don't have a chance. Anna?
I was just going to say that isn't this what we feared? Isn't this the most dangerous spot for us to be in, bouncing in and out of the wildcard spot? Because we are, like, look at us. As a team, we're definitely good enough for a wildcard spot. We might not make it, but that's the sort of level we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that, like, exactly where we didn't want to be?
I mean, hypothetically, yes, because it hurts your draft stock. But we know the Canucks aren't going to be trading away their first-round pick. They're hosting the draft. That'd be a PR obviously. Nightmare. And Benning's made it pretty clear he doesn't want to give up any assets. He still wants to acquire them. We'll see if he's a man of his word. But, you know, I don't think the Canucks are going to be big-time buyers. We've talked about that before. But this recent push into the playoffs maybe changes things. But no, I you know, it sucks. But if you look at the draft, there's a few guys right at the top. But then, you know, between 5 and 15, there's not a whole lot of separation. So if the Canucks end up right around there, I think they're still doing fine.
The thing that, I mean, I look at, and again, we sort of digressed off the fact that we wanted to talk a little bit more about the Colorado game. So the Vancouver Canucks being, you know, in it for a potential wild card spot, I guess in itself isn't bad. I do subscribe to the theory, as much as I'll be the guy to tell you I don't want to see them have a chance, to the idea that, you know, a team that can get to the playoffs when they're young allows these younger players to sort of, one, get the taste, sort of help that drive, but two, it just shows them how the game changes, you know, once the playoffs roll around. The other concern that I have is that, with that, however, is the fact that, you know, as much as GMJB says he doesn't want to mortgage the future, what's not to suggest that they're, you know, thinking we're a piece away from being a wild card team and starts to keep more of what they have and supplement even, you know, a small component. I would much rather see this team, whether it's in a wild card fight or not, be a seller. I want them to go and, like, if they can get picks just every which way to Sunday, picks galore. Take on bad contracts. You've got room. You know, do all of
especially
this.
Especially if you're able to unload some of your and own, like, good brands.
Mm. Yeah, and there's quite a few teams that are struggling with room, so Canucks could definitely leverage that.
Yeah, and that, to me, is what they need to do. It's just, as they are close, does that sort of take away the appetite to sell? Because it's working. And maybe it's not that the Vancouver Canucks are buyers.
Yeah.
It's that they're...
I think that's a good point.
They're status quoers.
But yes, it doesn't increase the likelihood of them becoming buyers, but it decreases the chance of them becoming big-time sellers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but, you know, if Edler's out for a long time here, then he's been playing his best hockey.
Yeah.
So that could really change things, but we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that we've gotten this far despite the defense being the kind of tire fire that it is.
Especially the bottom end of it.
Yeah, and I just think hopefully it means that that's not an easy fix, right? By any means. So I don't think it's something that can be fixed at the deadline, really. Hopefully Jim sees it that way too, that he's not just buying a piece of it right now to help the D, but depends on Edler.
Yeah, and that's the great unknown for us, especially right now. We're recording, we're not watching, we're not getting the updates, we're not frantically reading Twitter. But I think I need to qualify. I have no problem if, let's say, the Canucks, because let's say hypothetically Edler's out, they go and get depth. I would prefer them not to go get depth that's long term, unless it's a potential project. There's some upside there, because in my mind, you've got players you could bring up if that's all they're going to do. But not go out there and try to replace Edler for the purposes of, oh, hey, we're in a playoff fight. We need to be there. And I think I've resigned myself to the fact the Vancouver Canucks are not going to have a top five draft pick.
Barring some insane lottery luck, but
yeah.
Which is not our specialty.
No, as we have clearly seen. Speaking of lottery luck, or at least a draft pick, if you're the Colorado Avalanche right now, how excited are you?
Oh, my God. I was texting Matt the other day. Colorado made it like bandits on that trade. Take the first round, potentially first overall pick out of it.
Yeah.
They got so many players and prospects out of that. That for Duchesne, who hasn't done a whole heck of a lot in Ottawa since then. Anyway, but yeah, the fact that they could get a guy like Jack Hughes or Kaapo Kakko to go alongside these three already unbelievable offensive talents, it seems unfair.
Yeah.
We talked about it in Discord, and for those listeners who are still not yet in Discord, it's a very easy app to go and sign up for. You don't even have to have the app on your phone or your device. You don't want those extra apps. You can actually do it online. Just go to bit.ly/C4Discord, all caps, C4 Discord. But we were chatting about this in Discord, and, what would it take for the Canucks to get that pick out of Colorado's hands?
It would take Hughes minimum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think
it's not a price.
It would take more than that, I think. I think it would take Hughes.
Sorry,
plus.
That's the starter. That's the starting piece. But for the Canucks, you hang up the phone, right?
No, it's an interesting, could it happen? And I think, conceivably, no, it can't. Back to the actual game, though. Of all of the lines that we saw, the one that impressed me the most, and I think it impressed a few others, again, based on chatter in Gate 16, was the Virtanen, Roussel, Horvat line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that line to me is much blue collar and skill as I think the Canucks can sort of put together. But if a line like that can not only sort of produce, but forecheck and sort of do it all, I think the Canucks are better for it. I like that Jake sort of woke up. I think Jake's game is better when it's simple. Go to the net, good things happen. Roussel,
same thing.
But just in his game, of all the sort of acquisitions that we saw, I mean, we've talked about this before. Roussel is seemingly the smart one, or smartest. In fact, Don Cherry's a huge fan, because apparently Don Cherry says Roussel is the reason Pettersson's as good as he is. Which, again, I don't quite understand.
I don't understand that logic, but...
It's Don Cherry.
Yeah, it's true. But I think Roussel has really defied expectations and really shown what a bust the other July 1st signings have kind of been. I know it's not always fair to compare to who you were traded with, but...
Yeah, and I, like, Jay Beagle. I think Jay Beagle is okay.
He's okay, and it's a, he has been out a long time, so it's not necessarily fair to judge him. But Tim Schaller, like, who I have heard, is just, they still really like back in Boston, so...
Trade bait?
Yeah. Do they want him back? Maybe? Please?
No.
I think, you know, Jay Beagle would be more trade bait.
Yeah.
It's just interesting, though, that if you look long-term, the line of Horvat, Virtanen, and Roussel, do you see that as a top line?
Well, they're not even
line?
Together now. So.
Well, no, I know. But, like, if, let's say, that those three get together and actually develop chemistry, like, I don't...
See, to me, that's a perfect third line checking line. Like, if you're in the Stanley Cup final, you want to shut down...
Right.
Atop, you know, the Kucherovs of the world. That's the line you throw
and
up.
And for where we are right now, I think it's a decent second line.
Yeah, sure. But well, it's never going to be a top line.
No.
And, yeah, as you say, as we develop more, hopefully that will not be.
I think that just sort of identifies, though, where the Canucks are, is that we're looking at a really good third line as being, oh, man, it was the best line on the ice. They should play them more often like that. They should play more often like that. And, again, reinforcing the whole thing, this is a team that still needs more and to be more.
I guess that might be a nice transition onto the idea about whether Sutter is now tradable, considering Pedersen's development as a defensive center. Do we have that depth to get rid of that kind of checking center? Such Sutter.
Why are you pointing at me?
Well, I'm just curious. You look like you had something to say.
No. I'm happy to.
So, do they have depth to replace a Sutter right now?
Yeah.
I think there are two sides to that argument. One, there are those that say from a developmental perspective, sure, the Canucks have depth. You know, Sutter is just a guy. And I would argue that he is more than just a guy. It's just that his role on this team right now is an odd one. The problem is that if you trade a Sutter, who I think brings some level of stability and experience that then the team does lack, therein lies the rub. Now, if I'm the Canucks, though, would I be entertaining offers for Sutter?
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I think entertain
offers accepted.
Reasonable offers for almost anyone on the team.
Yeah, I think on the roster right now, there are three untouchable players, four if you count Demko. Everyone else, you're listening to offers, seeing what's available.
So what's Sutter worth?
You know what? I think around the league he's probably worth more than I think he is. I think, you know, is he worth...
Matt pitched the idea that it was a first-round pick there.
Yeah, see, I think that's steep, but there's also historical examples of...
Yeah, there is precedent, but I would say that...
Those are rare,
that's
right?
A reach.
So, you know, second or third, maybe... Yeah. And Andrei Burakovsky, who knows? So there's some value to Sutter for sure.
I'm definitely not in a like rush to trade him because I do think I have been astounded by Pedersen's defensive ability, and I think he is much better than even he was at the big start of the season defensively, as he's adapted to the league. But just when Sutter was out, how bad that PK was. The Canucks. It just does make me worried. I think he still has a role to play, but again, if we were to get a decent offer, sure.
It's interesting that you raise the point of Pedersen's defensive play. For those of you who were watching the Flyers game, Pedersen's defensive play got himself into physical harm's way. And he left the ice, went straight down to the dressing room. He did return. But is that the role you want Pedersen to be playing? I'm not knocking the kid's responsibility.
No,
on the
I
ice.
Know what you're saying. I think it's one of those things where it's a total plus and a total asset, but you don't want that to be his.
But I don't think you can stop him playing.
No,
like
you
that.
Can't. But you don't want to be putting him into a Sutter type role. You want
I agree.
You know, a Taves type role. And he can play defensively, but he's not. That's not his expected role.
The thing is, they're making up for defensive shortcomings
mm-hmm.
well, that we have in pairings like Pulio Gabranson.
Yeah, and that goes to the other side of the fence that says that the Canucks may have depth, but they don't have quote-unquote Sutter depth. And the point you raise about what the PK looked like when Sutter wasn't here, yeah, I mean, now granted, there was a lot more going on injury-wise at that time, but it's just interesting that as much as there might be value for Sutter, how does that then impact Vancouver Canucks? And I think it also puts them in the position that next year in free agency, they need to go and get a JAG plus one, something, or if there wasn't as part of a return, that replacement. Because, yeah, we don't want Pettersson to be fulfilling that role. And it's unsure if the Canucks have a player that could do that. I mean, there are some that say Gaudette.
Yeah, I was going to say he's the theoretical replacement to step in and fill that spot, right?
But I think that's a big ask with what we know of Gaudette right now. And it's not to say the kid can't do it. He's just not been given an opportunity in Vancouver. So maybe if they do deal Sutter and then Gaudette comes up and fills that role, we get a good sample size of March and April and potentially a playoff run to see, can the kid hold his own and grow into that role. And if he can't, then come into free agency or through trade or what have you, the Canucks look to find the JAG plus one.
Because with players like Gaudette, and he's one of a few examples, there's just a point where you have to bring him up and trust him, no? Would be trial by fire playing.
It might not be right now. He's still in his rookie season and has been a bit overmatched at times. So there's no reason to say you have to bring him and play him right now. I think you can still put him in the minors for another year if you have someone to play that role. If you don't, then sure, it would be trial by fire.
But. Yeah. I just think that's with the bottom end of our lineup, both in the D and in the forward sense, there isn't that much difference between the top end of Utica and the bottom end of Vancouver, right?
Fair enough. Just a quick update. The Canucks are still down 2-1 against the Flyers late in the third period. For us, again, we're not watching it. We're going to have to relive the highlights because you, our listeners, are more important than watching any Vancouver Canucks game. Obviously. This is like, Stanley Cup Final Game 7. We'd be all over that. Sorry, sucks to be you guys. Get the podcast the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But on that note, and as we sort of segue into HFLFMD, one final question for you. I know it drove Matt nuts, the Canucks essentially all-star break.
Mm-hmm. What, just the wait?
The wait. Now, this is more of a question that I don't think we've ever really discussed, but when it comes to NHL hockey, do you watch all hockey and can be a fan of the sport, or is it more of, I watch the Canucks, but beyond that, it's more I'm going to watch the highlights and read the news?
Yeah, for me right now, it's a little more of that. When, 2011 era, I was watching everything. Yeah. I was just so invested. Since the Canucks took a step back, I'm still watching the games. But it's hard for me to get super stoked about, an Islanders-Ducks game that's on at 1 o'clock on a Sunday, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Canucks first, NHL second.
Right. I mean, I would say I'm definitely a fan of the sport and given unlimited time.
Yeah, and let me qualify. I'm not trying to say we're not fans of the sport. I think we
of course.
Yeah, obviously we are.
But we're like, the Wild are playing the Devils. I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's definitely not where I'm at, but I have two other sports I need to follow, and three right now because
that's two. What's the other one?
It's cricket.
Cricket and football, and then rugby right now because Six Nations.
You make fun of us for watching football.
What? What's wrong with cricket? Cricket's on like all the. Honestly, I don't watch cricket. I just follow it, and especially depending on the time zone. But yeah.
Yeah.
But honestly, when the Canucks were bad and not playing in the playoffs, I watched like everything. Because I was just like, well, I don't have any affiliation here. I'm just going to watch absolutely everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely probably watch more of the playoffs when Canucks weren't in it.
Really?
Yeah, because I was just so on the Canucks hype train.
Yeah, with the playoffs, I watch a lot. It's the best it's the best when your team's in it, but it's also so much fun when you aren't emotionally invested in. You can just sit back and watch good teams play good hockey. And the first round, when you have four games on every day, it's the best. Like, you just commercial, bam, go to another game, then those games end, you got two more in the evening. Come on, nothing better than that.
And seeing, like, you know, I remember, what was it, 2016, when just watching Anaheim crash out of the playoffs. It was really funny. And just, like, being around Anaheim fans at the time, it was just really, really
funny. Speaking of Anaheim, they've now lost 16 of their last 18.
Yeah, woof.
Not great.
Well, I think this is a good time to point out that Matt, if he is listening to this episode, has probably pulled out a good portion of his hair, but you are listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
So, half full, half empty. That's the one drop I know I've got. So let's actually go and use that as a segue and talk a little bit about playoffs a little bit more. So the Vancouver Canucks are in the potential fight of having a wild card spot. I think it's safe to say that that's the best that they could probably achieve. So who do you think would be a good matchup for the Vancouver Canucks? And let's first talk about it as being the potential to win matchup. So this is where the Vancouver Canucks facing this team. Are you saying they've got a chance?
That's a good question. Let me take a look at the standings here and see who potential players would be.
As much as we kind of beat on the Pacific, like, the top of the Pacific is actually kind of scary. It's just the rest that sucks.
Yeah, the Flames are scary. It'd be fun to have a Canucks-Flames matchup. I mean, they might get smoked, but I think they could maybe hold their own, just because rivalry series are always different.
Yeah.
So, see, the Flames were going to be the team that I would say I think they have a chance. And my point being that, one, I think the Vancouver Canucks have held their own in some respect against the Flames so far this season, but look back when the roles were reversed.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Was it 2014?
Yeah, sort of feels to me that the Vancouver Canucks could be that sort of team that doesn't know any better and would go into Calgary and...
Yeah, and I think also the Flames, they're a very young and inexperienced team and they'd have a boatload of pressure on them too. And that is never a recipe for success. I'm not saying they couldn't win, they're a great team. But yeah, I think that, you're right, Chris, that would be... be the most fun to watch, and the Canucks would have a decent shot.
Yeah.
San Jose, Erik Karlsson would walk dance circles
around. Yeah.
Him and Burns would smoke the Canucks.
And I think Calgary, like, a series against Calgary would probably completely, even if they got through it, would completely wipe the Canucks out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they wouldn't get any further.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting the Vancouver... if the Vancouver Canucks make the playoffs, and okay, yes, you got to be in it to win it, they're not going past one round. And if they do go beyond that... that's like complete Cinderella team.
That's
oh my God.
Edmonton 2006, yeah. 7, whatever it was, 6.
Yeah, so I think it's that safe for us to go and say. As far as entertainment is concerned, I still think a series between Calgary and Vancouver
would be
an entertaining series to watch. I'm not keen on a Sharks Canucks series.
No,
not really.
Get swept again.
I don't think Vegas has a chance to catch Calgary anyway.
No. If Vegas were an option, I'm not entirely sure it would be as an entertaining of a series in so much as it would be a neat experience for fans.
For Canucks fans to go down, yeah.
Right. Well, Vegas is a tough ticket from what I understand. Like, I remember last year when I was looking at the possibility of going down for my birthday because Canucks were playing against the Golden Knights, that the best that I could do was like standing room tickets up in the nosebleed for like $150.
Yeah.
So
I remember I was trying to get my boss's tickets to the playoffs last year, and there were plenty of people reselling it, but it was very expensive.
Winnipeg would be a fun one too.
Yeah. I think Winnipeg would be, but I think from
a... too nice. Like, I don't hate them enough. I'm sure I would by the end of a playoff series.
Be the Fortnite series?
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got a soft spot from the Jets, having lived in Winnipeg, but
so do I. So, but I'm sure. Yeah,
Nashville.
Ugh, Nashville just bores me always.
Really?
Yeah.
Even
nothing about the Predators excites me.
Even like a couple of years ago, it just
they were still boring. They weren't an exciting team. They never have been, and they have gross colors.
They have gross colors. That's definitely true. Second only to Edmonton. Edmonton has the worst.
Edmonton's not bad.
I hate the orange and blue.
And then there's Dallas, arguably in the mix, but for how much longer?
Yeah,
Dallas is an interesting.
They could beat the Stars.
Yeah. Actually, let's go off the rails a little bit. Dallas Stars, you've got your GM, you know, calling out players publicly and the owners backing them. If that were to happen here in Vancouver, GM JB goes and says, you know, Bo Horvat and Elias Pettersson are a bunch of scrubs. They know they need to play better. And Francesco were to come out and back that up. What happens here?
Well, I mean, Canucks fans don't like Francesco to begin with. Everyone's warming to Jim Benning, but very slowly. Like, I think that would not go down well.
It would be, like, I'm the Vancouver market, I mean, our fan base is so invested in the team that I honestly feel that it could be so disruptive that it could, you know, make the franchise almost implode. I think fans would react in stadium. The media would just, you know, go explode themselves. Their heads all blow up. I mean, this is the same, you know, media that had to go and pick up on the EP40 death stare and make a bigger issue.
Oh my god! Talk about bye week story.
I also just actually like some metal a little bit, maybe, but I also just don't see him or anybody in the organization pulling a Stars here.
No, and I don't think so either. But so, if that were to occur, about the only thing that I think that would solve that is if suddenly Uber or Lyft were able to go into business. I think Lyft would be the preferable choice because they're a partner.
Yes.
The, you know, playoffs, though, I think, again, it's somewhat of a pipe dream at this point. Well, yes, the Canucks are in a wild card position. But
we kind of got to stop burying the lead here. Like, if Fedler's out for a significant amount of time, which it looks like he might be, like, their chances of making the playoffs nosedive.
Yeah.
I mean, a defenseman where...
That's not a good term, but yes.
Well, you know, if there's...
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry. A little on the nose there.
So, Edler out long term. If anything, it's possible that breaks up the Gudbranson-Pouliot pairing.
Yes, but then you have...
But people still have to play with those players.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Then you're bringing up like a Brisebois or a McEnany
But that was what I was going to say. Then you have other players who have to play with two anchors, and one of those anchors is going to get considerably more minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and you know, another side effect now is if Edler's out for a while, Tanev is not traded.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
You're right.
Two to three NHL caliber defensemen. Right now the Canucks have four with Edler.
Just about, right? Like, I really love Stetcher and Hutton, but they're developing players.
Yeah, Hutton's played pretty well. So you got to give him some credit. Stetcher, you know, maybe. But
it's getting there.
Yeah. So, you know, if Edler's out long-term, that's it for the Canucks' playoff chances. Defensemen don't get traded unless it's a Gudbranson or a Pouliot. Maybe a Sutter gets moved because they are sellers. So.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that with Edler gone, we're... alternate captain down, just like from a leadership perspective.
Yeah.
You don't really want to give up Tanev as well. Like,
no.
You have, not many leaders.
So, yeah, pretty scary injury. Obviously, we'll wait to see what happens. We have no idea. The game just ended 10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. And which, for those who, for some reason, didn't catch it, Canucks lost 2-1.
Yeah.
So,
are they out of the playoff spot now? I don't know.
I don't know the results of other games, but
I believe we're still in?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think St. Louis has like two games in hand, but the Canucks have currently, that you know, one more regulation win, which is...
So, they're on...
One over Colorado.
Teetering on the edge as it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You look at the wild card, you know, race right now. The difference between Vancouver and the Anaheim Ducks, of all teams, okay, is only 5 points.
the Ducks, who have lost 16 of their last 18.
Yeah.
Right? And that's like, you know, right now it's based on, again, things could change.
3 points.
Did Anaheim win?
No, but they're at 51. Canucks are at 54.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. 3 points. Sorry, I was, yeah, you're right. So Chris can't do math. It's just...
It's incredibly tight. There's, I mean, the fact, like, losing a star defenseman hurts you no matter what, but when there are five or six teams within a couple points of you, then that just compounds that. You know, if there's one team you have to fend off, maybe, but when there's all those teams and so much variability, who knows?
The other thing that I just sort of want to get into here is some of the comments from GMJB. And the first one is actually related to what we had sort of talked about in that last episode about the EP40 Death Stare. So Jim Benning was asked on, you know, local network, you know, what do you think about that? And he goes on and says, yeah, our PR team is working with him to talk to him about being, I can't remember what the term was, but like less snarky or like, you know, less imposing. Now, I know the Vancouver Canucks as an organization are extremely paranoid about their players having personality. And sometimes players, regardless of the team's efforts, still get through. So you saw it with the Kevin Bieksa and Kessler to some respect. There were players who, I mean, you know, we roll our eyes at Kessler, but he had personality when he was here.
Hell, probably too much off the ice.
Yeah, well, it's a different story.
Sorry, I don't want to cut you off, but how much of that do you think is maybe just lip service? Yeah, we talked to him. We're working on it. But, like, do you really think the Canucks care? I know, you know, you're talking about historical examples, but it's just, it's such a non-issue to me. And well, it's and only also, an issue because one media reporter reported on it, so people started talking about
and
it.
And it's only an issue because of Canadians. I'm sorry, but, like, Canadians just don't seem to get, like, dry European sense of humor. I'm not necessarily pointing out at you guys, but on a mass scale, think, like, hockey fans are pretty humorless.
But I think every hockey fan loves it. It's the media, the old school guys.
Yeah.
And maybe management. But I also just don't think, like, you have this superstar infant child.
Yeah.
You want to let him blossom into whatever the hell he's going to be, right? So I can't see Benning sitting Pedersen down and be like, listen, you got to...
Yeah.
Listen, you got
to... Because, I mean, even if he did have, you know, a little bit of an attitude issue, which I don't think he does. I think he has a great personality. I think he's really funny. And I think he has way more personality than, I've said it before, Professor. Like, Professor is boring. Yeah. Like, and I don't care.
Unless you watch him on
Instagram. Yeah, maybe in Carver is a different
maybe
story.
Maybe they did say something like, hey, just be a little nicer. Be nicer to that one person so you don't get in trouble. Like, I just can't see it. They're not going to have a personality coach for the guy. It's a small thing. I think that's been overblown.
Okay, so Jim Benning, you know, suggesting that the team is doing that. I'll be honest, I don't necessarily think it's lip service per se. If it's not happening, then it would be really equating what Jim Benning is doing is what Brian Burke used to do in the early days of the Sedins and try to insulate them by putting the spotlight on himself to take it off his young star player.
Which is what we should be doing. I mean, Connor McDavid gets just like, and Austin Matthews in particular, gets completely wrapped up in cotton wool in terms of media exposure. So
what does that mean?
Just in terms of they limit
in cotton wool?
In cotton wool.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Insulated.
Yes.
Yeah, insulated. Yes. So we have a duty to protect our stars, especially a star that's speaking English as a second language.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of it's just lost in translation.
But, and I think Anna Marie's a good point, though. Like, what we're talking about, I would say all three of us are like, yeah, you know, if anything, we don't care, but really, we like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that was, who didn't love
that? Like, that was hilarious.
That's the thing. Like, the people I follow, and granted, you know, social media can sometimes be somewhat of an echo chamber. I can't find a lot of people who come out and say, I don't like it. In fact, some of the old school hockey people, and I referenced it on the last episode, Ray Ferraro, he's like, you know what? Better to me. Kid's got a little personality.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand why it needs to be an issue. And that's my take on it. Benning also talked about, you know, the fact that he doesn't want to mortgage the future. He's really looking to, you know, build prospects, build draft picks. Do you believe him?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
For the first time, not the first time, but like I actually kind of see what Benning's doing, and I'm kind of behind it right now. So.
Okay. I mean, we don't have a choice but to, right?
Excuse me?
We don't have a choice but to believe him. One single T, guys. But saying that, I do think that his heart is in the right place, whether he follows that plan to a T or not. But I do think that he is thinking of the team in the right way.
Well, okay, so I will qualify. He's, I think, always thinking about the team. I think what's debatable is what people perceive as the right way. You look at Canucks fans and whatnot, there's essentially, you know, two different perspectives, team playoff, team tank. And each one is completely, you know, upset with the other's perspective. Now, what do the Vancouver Canucks ultimately need to do? They need to continue to build and rebuild. And I think that, whether you're team tank or team playoffs, you actually agree on. The Vancouver Canucks still need more. Now, where my concern lies and why I sort of question, do I believe him, is that the track record that we've seen from GMJB has only recently started to shift to this idea that it's a rebuilding team. Now, you might say, well, Chris, I mean, it's, you know, Trevor Linden was involved and, you know, there's more going on in Aquilini's. And you know what? You would not be incorrect. That's all definitely something to consider. But let's look at free agency. For a team that's looking to rebuild, GMJB handed out some seriously weird contracts to a number of players that, quite frankly, don't help you necessarily rebuild. I mean, we talked about Roussel being, you know, a good pickup. Beagle, were, you know, let's say, you know, incomplete is the score. Schaller, it's like, no, not, no thank you. Yet, equally, did we need all three of those players on the contracts that they were signed to? Like, in my mind, two, it would have probably been too much, but you could have accepted that. And so that's where I struggle seeing that, only to somehow forget it with the recency of, oh, he's made a couple good deals here.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you're saying. I think he has the right ideas, but like you said, does he execute those properly? Yeah. The deals for Roussel and Beagle and everyone, Schaller's a one-year deal, so who cares?
Okay.
I mean, they're not future mortgaging or franchise-altering moves. You can argue the term and everything and whether or not they're worth it in a vacuum, but I don't think they really affect the team in a negative way, other than maybe you could have spent that money on a better player. But I don't think it's
going. Yeah, I don't think it's a huge deal, but yeah. I do agree with the fact that they're, Chris is saying, it's like clogging up roster spots when...
But who would be taking those roster spots right now? Nobody really in Utica has shown that they deserve it.
I wouldn't...
In the future, maybe. That's the problem. Right now,
yeah,
I think it's fine. But in the future, when a guy like Colin or somebody could theoretically be vying for a depth spot, then that's potentially an issue. So.
Yeah, or McEwen.
Yeah, and I think I'm not fully subscribe to the idea that you bring up someone from, or anyone from Utica to plug in there. I do get that there is players that are needed to fill roles in the team, sort of in that short term, as sort of the bridge to a more successful franchise. I just, again, struggle with the recency being proof that, you know, things are better. And the, again, variable we've spoken to at length this episode is playoff team. Now impacting this. He may not mortgage the future, but he may not sell high to pay that mortgage off that has occurred previously off sooner. And that's, again, the concern. One other thing I also wanted to talk about before we look to wrap up the episode, and it was based on the conversation that we had here in Discord in Gate 16 today. So, again, Matt, you know, he's not here, so he'll be really happy that I'm bringing this up. The Florida Panthers may be looking to get themselves another goaltender on a long-term contract, which raised the question, a team that already has Luongo and Reimer, why? And I had sort of floated the idea that, well, you know, is something wrong with Louis? Now, I think we've talked about this on previous episodes. There was a rumor flying out there. It was around the same time the Panthers were in town, Luongo's last game in Vancouver. And the rumor was that his hips are a mess and that he may retire or medically retire sort of at the end of the season. Now, medically retire means he goes on LTIR. It would be very similar to the Derek Dorsett situation here in Vancouver, where Dorsett's actually still on the roster. It's just that insurance covers his salary until the contract is gone, and the Canucks, if they were at the top of the cap, would get LTIR relief. So if that happens, you know what? End of a career. Luongo did really well. Things didn't work out the way he wanted. Everyone goes on. The difference, however, is if the Panthers are subscribing to the theory that Luongo is no longer their guy, what happens next? And so some of the things that we had sort of talked about in Discord, and I'm just going to quickly sort of summarize. One, the Florida Panthers look to bury the contract. That's a possibility. That still means they're eating, you know, a cap hit for a player who's, you know, on his way to Robidoux Island. Two, they look for an amenable training partner who Luongo is willing to go to. Now, he has a modified no-trade clause, which apparently could have been triggered if he had provided back a few years ago a list of teams. Mm-hmm. And if he did and the team did not action that trade, the modified NTC apparently went back to being an NTC. Now, if he didn't provide that list of teams, then I believe the team still had the opportunity to go and say, give us five. Okay, so again, not too sure about that, but it does have a modified no trade. So Luongo gets to say where he goes. Two is that Luongo doesn't medically retire. Luongo retires. Now, that has a much bigger implication for the Vancouver Canucks because of cap recapture. Now, I know that, you know, I brought this up in the past, and maybe I'm awfulizing a little bit, but if the Vancouver Canucks were to see that as an opportunity, what's not to say that they go out and maybe expedite the, you know, Demko transition a whole lot quicker? This is not a knock against Markstrom. I think Markstrom's actually, you know, starting to prove that he's more than the 2A, 2B I've sort of categorized him as. But he has value now he didn't previously have. So, I think there's a lot to talk about, but your thoughts. So, Anne or Adam, whichever you want to go, what's going on in the land of Sunrise, Florida?
I have no idea. It's so hard to speculate on this. Like, you gave so many options, and there's so many more that could happen, mm-hmm. right? So where do you even begin, really? The last thing you want is for Luongo to retire early. Well, I don't even know when it's best for him to retire in terms of
ultimately right now if he is going to retire, the Canucks want him to retire the end of this season.
So they have a smaller cap hit spread out over more years.
Right, because every subsequent year he retires means an actual larger cap hit for the remaining years of the contract. The worst is that he goes and plays two more seasons and retires after that with like it's like a huge recapture. Yeah. And that would be around the same time the Vancouver Canucks, quote unquote, are now shifting into high gear and have contracts themselves to take care of.
Yeah,
because the ideal option is also the least likely, right?
That he LTIR?
No. Well, I guess
that's you know, because
ideal within the realistic.
I don't see him playing the last 3 or 4 years on
his team. That's what I'm saying. Like, so, the absolute ideal is he plays that one.
So, yeah,
3 years, which is not likely.
Because I think the Canucks would be fine paying his salary.
Yeah.
Maybe, rather than
the cap hit.
Yeah. See, and this is the thing about Luongo. So, his cap hit is, I think, like 5.33
million.
Right? Like, that's the way it's been the entire contract. Next season, he is making like $1.6 million in change, and in his final 2 years of his contract, it's $1 million per.
Yeah.
So whoever has Luongo on the roster is actually not spending a lot of money on a goaltender.
Yeah, exactly.
And arguably, that number is, that's backup money, right? Like, that's not something you're concerned about. What concerns you is the cap hit and how that works within your overall budget. Now, if you're the Vancouver Canucks, you already have 800,000 of his cap hit on your books until he's done. Like, that is what that is. So I think if I'm Vancouver, I have flexibility. We know the window's in 2 or 3 years. Yes, it would suck to have 5.33 instead of just 800,000 on the books. But again, that plays into it. The other component of all of this, though, in terms of the contract, is if you're Roberto Luongo, do you play just to continue to get paid? Because he doesn't occur to me to be the type of player that will simply show up for a paycheck. He occurs to me to be the type of player who will want to compete and want a role, not to be buried on Robidoux Island or, you know, right. I'll go wherever you send me. Just make sure the money shows up in my bank account.
Yeah, and the thing is, it just doesn't look great from either perspective.
No.
Right? It's going to fall out badly for somebody.
Well,
most likely Vancouver.
And that's the concern. Exactly. It's just, like, we're starting to see things turn around, and this big question mark could have huge implications, especially considering it's not like, okay, we can suck it up for a year or suck it up for two. We're talking 3 years, and that has significant impact on the Vancouver Canucks. More to Florida, though. Apparently, they're in need of a defenseman. I hear they're hot on Gudbranson. Yeah?
Yeah, I've heard talks of Talon maybe taking him back. Yeah. Which, take him.
Take him.
Give me a seventh. Take him away.
Yeah.
So, we'll take Luongo. You can have Gudbranson. But because we're giving you such a great player in Gudbranson, we're eating that contract. I think we need more than just a seventh on the way back.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
You can be on the negotiating team, Chris.
That would then mean the Vancouver Canucks are then dishing a Markstrom and expediting the...
he's a free agent at the end of next year. Markstrom's right? Yeah.
Yeah, so
who knows?
I mean, arguably a team who needs a goaltender.
Yeah. An asset come draft time.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Well, as we go to wrap up our episode, one final note. Again, by the time this comes into your ears, whatever podcast app you use, be it on your iPad or iPod or what have you, Edler apparently walked out of the dressing room on his own wearing a tracksuit. So, you know, all things considered, yeah, he might be hurt, but generally players who are in dire straits do not walk out of the dressing room on their own in a tracksuit.
It's a little bit of a tragedy just for his general face, but...
He's a handsome man.
He's a handsome man. Will he still be handsome tomorrow? We don't know.
But
that's the primary concern.
Whether
not his well-being, not the Canucks, his face.
Does he still look good? If you're looking for the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast and you're not already listening to us, you just happen to tune in that one time because your friend told you to, you can find us online at CanucksHockeyBlog.com. We're in all the social media platforms. We're at the C4 Podcast. If you happen to like us a lot, maybe you've been listening to us for a while, or maybe you just want to get to the inside edge, access to the recording studio to hear us listen to podcast episode slides, where we can share them. Not always possible simply due to the limitations of the technology we're using and the fact that I'm a scrub. Well, you can support us at patreon.com/C4podcast. We talked about it at the start of the episode. Every 2 weeks, we give you some bonus exclusive content. It depends on who's there. If it's the three of us, it's probably 40 minutes of fun. If Matt happens to be there, it's probably 10 minutes of let's get this over and done with. Man, I am going to get in so much heat if he listens
to
this episode. But again... All sorts of options are available there, and I've actually been thinking, I could talk about it on air here, but I'd like to do something to kind of recognize our current patrons. So, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, teaser, teaser, we'll talk about this after we shut things down and it's not live. But final words of wisdom, I'm going to start with Anna.
I just hope that Edler's okay, and not just because of his handsome face, but because I cannot watch this, like, the rest of this season, like, with a D call without him on it.
I'm glad you're thinking of the player and the team above whether or not...
But that's still there. The concern is still there over his face.
Yeah. Adam?
I don't really know what to say that Anna hasn't already said, so I'll just say thank you, Tom, for giving me
another year
of happiness.
I knew he was
going
to say that.
My good friend Tom. Sometimes him and Giselle come over for dinner. It's pretty nice.
What do you think about Gronk?
Oh, Gronk's done.
He's done?
Yeah, I think he's going to retire.
Yeah.
Question. Thank you to Gronk, too. What a guy.
Question came up to Brady, and he's going to retire, and he's like, you know, I'm going to talk to my family, but no, I want to continue playing.
Yeah.
As for me, I am just excited that the three of us got together and got to talk about whatever the heck we wanted to talk about, because it's so much fun. It's like some of the greatest episodes. If you, our listeners, love us having a little more flexibility, more freedom, more OTR, as we call it, when we go off the rails, it's very important you provide us that feedback in Discord. It's very important you provide us that feedback on iTunes reviews. It's very important you send us email.
And if I may, it's very important you tag Matt
in please
all
do.
Of these comments.
Tell him to wear peacocks. He's got to let us fly.
That's well, and I'll be honest.
Yeah, the guys.
You know,
that's some, not a saying, Anna.
It's from the other guys.
Oh, okay.
Some of the feedback that I have received in the past is that I think our listeners, they enjoy it. I mean, yes, we're a hockey podcast. We'll always be a Canucks niche hockey podcast. We're going to focus on the Canucks, but I think it's good to have a little bit of fun. And before I forget, we did get an email into the C4 inbox. That's c4@canuckshockeyblog.com. It's from longtime listener Mian. It says, it's been a while, gang. My question this week is an attempt to have a positive spin on things. How many good things can... of you name involving the Vancouver Canucks that might actually give us hope that they'll be a competitive team within the next couple of years. As always, thanks, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. So what positive things can we provide our listeners about the Vancouver Canucks?
I can name five right off the top.
And they are?
Elias Pettersson, Bo Horvat, Brock Besser, Thatcher Demko, and Quinn Hughes.
I was going to add Mikey DiPietro on that because I think that kid's got some jam.
He's got some swag.
Yeah.
I will add in Ben Hutton's development, and also maybe Goldobin. We'll see.
Or whatever he gets us in a trade.
Yeah. But you have to play him if you want to trade him.
Which they've been doing, and he scored yesterday in the Colorado game. So
there you have it, Mihai. You got positivity. But on behalf of the Missing in Action, Matt Lee at Matt Lee _61, Anna Forsyth at A4Sight03, Adam Ovenel Carter at Adam FOC, and myself, Chris Golden at Light Force, we are signing off this episode of the C4 podcast with the final two words of every episode. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the C4 podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com.